Well, this is strange to see me up here at this time. The elders have given the preachers the morning off from preaching because we have a few things we want to present to you. First, if you'll turn to Philippians, the first chapter, I'm going to start with a reading there. You know, we live such busy lives that sometimes we just forget about the things that we've accomplished. And so I'm going to speak on the events of this past year here at Palm Springs Drive. And Herb is going to talk to us about the future, and then Tim's going to give us a short invitation. Paul writes in Philippians, the first chapter, starting verse 3, he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." You know, Paul looked back when he wrote this at the work he started in Philippi and at the continuance of their faith and partnership in his preaching of the gospel. So it is with this in mind that we want to take a look at the events of 2017 to encourage one another with the work that we are all sharing in at this congregation. Be assured there's no boasting going on here, except that maybe God is being glorified by the good work that we are doing by faithful Christians as we work and worship here at this location. It takes all of us to work together to accomplish the things that I'm going to present. And so with that, let's get started, and we're going to start with spiritual growth. We started last year with an annual theme of unity. The elders chose this so that we could focus upon having the same mind and to work together as one unit. We needed to be unified to implement some of the changes that we were planning on bringing to this congregation. Some changes like the alignment of the Bible class to study the entire Bible in 4 years. This is a more structured way of studying the Bible, with everyone studying the same thing, parents and children, old and young, so that we could be thinking all about the same subjects as we went throughout the year. The next was the alignment of sermons with the adult Bible class. Actually, the preacher suggested this as a way to bring more in-depth study from what we were studying in the class. And so they brought that suggestion to us, and we thought it was a good idea, and we implemented that. The Q&A night, Brian continued doing this. I think you did 2 years right of this, right? Okay. And he's done a great job of answering some difficult questions that you posed to him. I'm glad you didn't pose them to me, because they were difficult. He spent a lot of time studying those, and we're very grateful for that. We had two gospel meetings by two very capable preachers. First was Edwin Crozier, giving us a week-long sermon on loving like a Samaritan. And he brought that to us to help us to know how we need to love our fellow man. In the fall, we had Kenny Moore, who gave one called Live Like He's Coming Tomorrow, which was very good about helping us to be prepared for the coming of Christ in our everyday lives. All of this was designed to help us grow, and we would like to hope that having these spiritual growth type of initiatives in the congregation here had something to do with the next couple of items I'm going to bring to you, and that is some changes with individual Christians. We had a number of restorations throughout this year. You know, all of us are subject to falling away, and Satan really seeks to destroy those who put on the name of Christ. So we always rejoice when those that have strayed come back. These all made the decision to turn back to God, and so we just ask that everyone continue to pray for them and for their strength that they can overcome the problems they've had. Terry Petty was restored. He was a Christian long time when he grew up. He fell away, and he came back. Rodney Rubite and Angela Rubite were restored this past year, and we're very thankful for that. We had a number of baptisms this year, quite a few actually, and that's very exciting. And we need to remember these are young in faith, and we need to help them, pray for them, and encourage them as they start their journey with God. The first that I had on my list was Veronica Petty, who was baptized in March, soon after Terry was restored to the faith. In the same month, Kathy Pryor, who was Michelle Hunt's mother, she was down here and was baptized. Then Jimmy Petty in April, Bobby Petty in May, and Jessica Petty in May. And then one more, Dan Laginusa, I probably Laginusa, thank you, was baptized in May. And then finally, Caleb Holliday was baptized in July. Quite a number of new Christians, and we're just very thankful for that. We also had a number of Christians that met with the elders, and it makes our family grow here. They express their desire to be a part of this flock and to be shepherded by the elders. This is a serious responsibility that the elders have, and we tell them this when they meet with us, that we take it very serious, that we are trying to help them to grow and to be stronger Christians. So those that met with us this year was Vicki Andrews, the whole Petty family, Terry, Veronica, Bobby, Jimmy, Jessica, and Jessica, Scott and Debbie Sario, and their daughter Sarah, whose last name is now Tiller, and her two children, Alyssa and Ainsley. And we had Tom and Susan, Ryan and Caleb Holliday. For some of those that have been here for a while, you remember them. They have been with us for a while, moved to Ocala, and now are back here in Orlando, and we're so very thankful for that. Then we had John and Amy Silkis and their children Ella and Camille, who have joined us. And so we're very thankful that we've grown in this way, and we welcome them. We had, for births, we really only had one. But we've already had one this year and another on the way with Amy Silkist. But a Harper Rose Story was born in December. And we're really happy for that. And she's just such a beautiful baby. And I know Phil and Gail are very happy that they have a new baby, a new granddaughter. For deaths, we are always saddened when those that we love pass. We had Mary Kittron pass away last February, and then David West in December. Even though we're saddened by this, we take some comfort in knowing that God, who's a righteous God, judges them righteously, and we feel that since they've been Christians for a long time, faithful Christians, that they are they're with him in heaven, singing his praises. Another area that we've had some work that we've been working on is outside preacher support. You know, there are a lot of congregations that struggle just to support their local preacher. The elders here get a lot of letters from other preachers asking for help because where they preach, there's just not enough funds to sustain a family. But with your generosity, we are supporting two preachers full-time here, as well as seven that are working around the world. We added a new one, Marian Altvoss, last year. That is Roxy's father. And he came to us and said he needed some support, so we have added him to the list. But these others you've seen for a while, Scott Tope in Africa, Dom Bunting in New York, Wayne Welsh, who was in St. Pete and now has moved to Minnesota and doing fine there, even though it's cold. Stefano Carrazza in Rome, Italy. We're still supporting him. And Jimmy Petrus in Seychelles, Mike Schmidt in Florida, and Spencer Blackwater in Texas. These men write reports regularly, and we post them on the back. If you haven't seen them, you're more than welcome to make a copy of those, take them home, or read them while you're standing around here and having some before worship services. They are very enlightening. Some have more struggles than others in the congregations that they preach at, but we ask them to write reports so we can keep track of the good work they're doing there. Another area to look at is just congregational items in general. our worship attendance. These are just some numbers, but I want to put them up here just so you can kind of see. Our Sunday morning service for the year, the low was 123. The high was 198. I remember the 198 because we were just about packed full. That was the Sunday that Robert Rackley brought his extended family to celebrate his birthday. I think he was 98. And I was in the back in charge of seating, I think, at that time. And I was biting my nails. We were going to sit all these people. But that was that event. Sunday evening, as you know, we have a lower turnout. And then Wednesday evening for Bible study, our numbers are as we show there. This past year, we established greeters. We wanted to improve our first impression upon those that are visiting with us, to have them be met by one of our members. We noticed that sometimes people will come in and maybe never really even meet someone with all the fellowship that we are doing before and after services. So we wanted to put someone in charge of making a special effort to meet those that are visiting and show them that we're welcome, that they're here. And we think that's having a positive effect. We made a slight change to our visitor cards. We call them connection cards. And that's really just to make a point that we want to connect with those visitors, not just keep a track of they were here, but we want to reach out and connect to them. And we still have some work to do on that, but that is our plan with that. We trained a second person to work the audio and video equipment here, Terry Tokash. Keith Nolan had been doing it for quite a while. We knew we needed a second person in case he takes time off and goes somewhere on a weekend. And so Terry is our person right now, and he's doing a great job. So we started that. The final area I want to talk about is the building. The elders met with an architect, a builder, and the Seminole County officials several times to talk about changes we wanted to make at this building. After meeting with them a couple times, we had the unfortunate event that our architect decided to retire. So we met with two other architects to try to establish one as our main architect to work on building renovations. So we have chosen one, and he is actively working on designing the changes for the building, and we actually hope to get a lot of these changes implemented before this year is out. We purchased a new copier. If you notice in room 8, a new color copier, and that's been very helpful to the preachers to make copies of printed material for both the classes and for the sermons, and it's also open for the teachers when they get materials ready for their class as well. That was very well needed. We added a large screen TV in the rear. The preachers let us know that it was difficult when they were having their classes and on Wednesday night class to present material they had made on the overhead here, or on the overhead, on the projector here, because it was behind them and they couldn't see. So we put it over there so they could more effectively teach their class, and that has been helpful for them. We purchased a high-fidelity camera. As you know, we are streaming this service across the web for those who are not able to be with us, those are shut in or sick for a short period of time. They can go to the website and see what we are doing here and participate with us. And so we wanted to have that as a high-quality video, so we bought a high-fidelity camera. We removed the last pews on both sides here for the wheelchair-bound. We noticed the number of wheelchair people were increasing, and we wanted to accommodate that, so we did that and then put some other chairs back there for their family members, and we feel that's working out well. And finally, we repaired the baptistry heater. We always want to have the baptistry ready for those who make the decision to become baptized. The heater was not working very well, and so we repaired that, and now it is ready. All of this is to show God that we are giving our best in all that we do here at this congregation. And we're just so thankful that you have supported the elders and the decisions they've made, and that you yourself have been part of the activity that's been going on here. So that's all I have to present, and now I'm going to turn it over to Herb, and he will present the rest.
If you want to read with me, please turn to James chapter 4. We're going to read that in just a moment. James chapter 4. beginning in verse 13. In preparing for this, I have figured out why Adam and Brian are so pleased when the elders get up, at least for this elder. They do such a good job of organizing their thoughts and making their presentation, and it's clear and it's concise and it's interesting and relevant. And then elders get up and it's boring and it's long and it really makes them look good. So I recognize my faults as I have prepared for this. So I beg your forgiveness for whatever portion it is not encouraging to you. Make sure I do this right. To the right? Okay, good. The year ahead for Palm Springs Drive, and as I have prepared for this, I immediately, not immediately, but I eventually thought of James chapter 4, and I think it's relevant here. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that." And I beg of you to understand that whatever the elders and the preachers say we're planning for the year, it is only if the Lord is willing. And that we humble ourselves before God with a desire to do His will, knowing that He is in control of all things, and we are thankful for that. And let us pray on that wise. Dear God in heaven, as we discuss our plans this morning, we pray that we will always take the attitude that is only if you are willing to humble ourselves before you, recognizing that you are the one who created us in control of all things. Let us be humble, but let us desire to be zealous and do good works for the year ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Our goal for sure in all times is to glorify God. Romans 15, 5 through 7, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I pray that it is always our goal here, as it is now, that with one mind and one voice we will glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to discuss two areas this morning: our spiritual growth journey and the building and the remodel project. The goals early on, we're going to discuss the building remodel project first, and then we'll do the spiritual growth journey. Early on, the goal was to keep it simple. We thought if we went to the county, we'll just do something simple. You know how that is. We just want to do, you know, just a little bit. And we had a meeting with the Seminole County Building Department, and we discovered there are new requirements to say that we will have to do a fire sprinkler system and that we will have to have a voice evacuation system. And we know that's going to increase our cost. And in fact, currently, this building is not in compliance with current laws and current zoning requirements. So we could not avoid that. So we're just telling you that as we move forward, there are some things that we didn't really want to spend money on that we have no choice in the matter. Our wish list for this remodel are ADA compliant bathrooms for use for those in wheelchairs, additional seating for the auditorium. We're thinking of rooms 3 and 6 that we can use as dual purpose areas for both classrooms and auditorium. We want to enlarge the lobby. It's too small. We want to enlarge the lobby doors getting into the lobby. We want to replace the paneling, the lights, and the carpet. Secondly, we want to replace the classrooms and the ceiling. We want to improve the air conditioning, very much so in these classrooms, especially on the end. We need more functional space for the live streaming and audio room. And outside, we just love the pink brick. I know that that's a favorite of yours, but we think it's time to move on from that and possibly a different sign. That is our wish list. Let's move on now to the part that's more exciting for 2018, our spiritual growth journey. I know that we have used the term cycle when Brian presented it, presented it 2 weeks ago. We've also used the word process. And I like the word journey. It's all the same thing. I think it's fitting in this case to use the word journey. I'm thankful for Jared for leading that song, our pilgrim journey, because there's a verse in that song that says, I have it in my notes here, sorry. But to cheer us on our journey. And I look at this as a journey for us as well as for those we're trying to reach. It is needful for the kingdom for Christians to grow spiritually. That's essentially what we're trying to do. If you look at Luke 13:6, the parable of the barren fig tree. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. I'm sort of condensing this. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" I don't want us to be that. I want us to be a fig tree that people look at and say, look at the fruit that they're bearing. They're praising God. They're glorifying God. That is our goal here, and we don't want to be any other way. Our spiritual growth journey, if you remember from, we've been repeating it now, is worship God, study His Word, love one another, and reach the lost. And I'm going to use that to construct our plans for the year ahead. In Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers." Starting next Sunday, we have decided that February 4th, that we will have new worship times. This is a repeat for most of you. We'll be worshiping from 9 to 12 on Sunday morning. We will not be meeting on Sunday night. And that is, of course, we said this will be a six-month trial. After 4 months, we will have a family meeting, and we will discuss that, and then you can give us your input, ask us questions, and make suggestions. We will have a Lord's Supper service at 9. The Bible classes will begin at 9:45. Praise and preaching will begin at 10:45, and that's when we will have the contribution and the blessings talk and a regular sermon by one of our preachers. There will be a class for those who are interested in doing a blessings talk on February the 11th. That's Sunday, February the 11th at 2 p.m. And so those of you who men who are interested in that, we need you to come, and we'll sit down and talk for perhaps an hour. We were talking about how long it would be. Depends on how many questions we have. But it's really, really important that you come to that, because we want you to participate. This will be your opportunity to participate in worship, since the preachers will be doing the talk before the Lord's Supper now. This will be your opportunity to speak and to tell about your blessings. Please be patient, like I said, for 4 months as we change the worship times that we'll have our family meeting on Sunday, June the 3rd. The second step in this, the next step, is study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We will continue to have the one adult class so that all adults can study the whole Bible together. We think that's a good plan. That's, as Jeff said, we started that, and we think it's a good plan. We will continue that for this year. The preachers will continue to align the adult Bible class subject with the sermon. We can dig deeper into the subject. We think that's also a good plan, and we can make personal application of that. Secondly, we want to ask that if you would please make a commitment to be in all the Bible classes. We think that if we're going to begin spiritual growth, that being at the Bible class, to study His Word, the preachers work hard to make the presentation and to give you a chance to ask questions, and we urge you to make a commitment to be at the Bible classes. Both you and the church will benefit in the study that Brian and Adam are leading. We have a new 5-day Bible reading program we just posted on the website last night. Adam was up very late working on a number of things on the website. I have a sample of it. You can either just read it there, not read it, you can find the scripture references there, sorry, and then turn to your Bible, or you can print it, download it, and print it. It's available on the website. You don't have to log in. It's for all those who are interested, and it's, I believe it's under a study. Isn't that right, Adam? And so we invite you to take a look at that. There it is, on the website, under study. Also, John 13:34 is our next step, love one another. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Clearly, this is the step that the elders and preachers have focused on the most. We have worked very diligently on this step. And so we want to encourage you to participate on this as well. How do we develop a love one another? That's the question. Well, we believe that house-to-house meetings is what we are going to use to help us with that. It's not the only thing, but we think this is a good way to go. These small groups can provide a way for us to get together. The purpose for house-to-house meetings are a way to develop more meaningful relationships. More meaningful relationships that will prompt deeper connection with each other and service to one another by mutually digging deeper in applying God's words to our lives. The goal is to have no more than 12 to 24 adults at each meeting, at each group. And that would include the leaders. The children are included in the meetings, but they're not counted in that head count from 12 to 14. And there are four goals of the house-to-house meetings: to study together, share together, pray together, and support one another. Those are our goals in the house-to-house meetings. We are excited and hopeful for them. We know that this congregation loves to be together with one another. We've seen that. You've evidenced that. And we love the Lord and just want to do what is right. We believe this is the right thing to do, to love one another. We pray you will give it as much support as your faith and your schedule will allow, and that God will be glorified in this, and we look forward to that. Reach the lost is the next step. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We see that as a command. Sometimes you may think we only do that here, and so we know that this is something we're going to be working on for this year. We don't have the plans in place just yet, but that's a developing project. We do have a new spot on the website for anybody wanting to have a Bible study. This will be Christians or non-Christians. Adam put that up at 1:30 this morning. If you'll go to the front page, you'll see, I think it says schedule a Bible study. Is that what it says, Adam? And so you just fill in that information and he'll get an email and then we'll be in touch. So if you know of somebody that wants to have a Bible study, you can encourage that as an option as well. We also have a new video that's been posted on the website at about midnight last night. It's called The Bible in 3 Minutes. We believe this is a tool that you can use in your personal evangelism efforts. We worked on this past year. We invite you to go and view that. That's also on the front page. You don't have to log in to see that. That would be for all who want to. We encourage you to look at that and use that. We have a new blog that Adam and Brian have begun using on the website. It's another way to reach out for those searching for answers. They'll be posting links to the blog on the Facebook page and hopefully reaching more people that are searching for answers. So we encourage you to be aware of that. That is available on the front page. You don't have to log in to see that. I think it just says blog in the upper right-hand corner. We will continue to live stream the Bible classes and worship services as we are doing this morning. We will record and post them on our website. If you know of a service that you want somebody to see or hear, you can go on and it gives you a page so you can say, I want to email this to my friend. And you just email. It's easy as can be. You don't have to copy and paste anything. Just enter an email address and hit send. So we encourage you to take a look at that as well. We are blessed with two very capable preachers who are committed to preaching that is sound and rooted in God's word and are passionate about saving souls. I think that's the beginning of reaching the lost, is having people who are committed to those ideals. They continue to feed the flock and share the gospel with all who will listen. They work well together and with the elders. They are energetic, studious, and innovative. And so we think that that's the beginning, and so we want to take and utilize their talents and their skills to reach the lost at this congregation. And we will continue to work on new ways to reach the lost in 2018. So finally, I've come to the end. I started by saying we want to glorify God in all things, and I found this passage. I can't believe I never read it before. Psalm 34:3, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We pray that this year will give us a chance to glorify the Lord and that we can exalt his name together as we go down that spiritual journey. Amen.
I feel all alone up here. it didn't start out that way. Let me change glasses here. We had a lot of things happen last year. And just listening to Herb go through the list there, you start to realize we've got a lot in front of us. I've heard the comment that that's rather ambitious a couple of weeks ago, and it is. And there's a lot in front of us. And, I want to thank Jeff and Herb, the shepherds here, who took the time to share some of this morning. And I want you to remember something that I think about a lot, is that they're my shepherds too. In other words, the elders here are not freewheeling. You know, we have to submit to one another. And we have to care for each other, because the funny thing is that we're also part of the flock. And as such, the shepherds care about the flock here. I've been around them before we were elders. They cared about the flock back then. They care about the flock. Because we are a part of the flock. We recognize whose flock this is. And I'm here to tell you that we knew this would go this way, that there would be some really exciting things happening. But I'm going to tell you something. 2017 was not a perfect year. It wasn't. And 2018 is not going to be a perfect year either. You see, in 2017, there was also suffering. And as the elders look at this congregation, what we see for 2018 is suffering. Because see, there's another part to being a Christian that the Bible speaks about, and it is about this suffering part. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we see two kinds of suffering that can happen to us as humans. The first one you see in verse 13. It says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ." And in this case, he says, in that kind of suffering, you should rejoice. Now, we don't typically associate words like suffering and rejoice. But that's really a type of suffering that's spoken of in the Bible. The other one is in verse 15, just a few verses down. It says, "Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler." That's the suffering that you experience when you sin. And being an elder for several years now, this is something that we see a lot of suffering, and we think about it. And it's one of those two things. It's always that. Either you're suffering for the cause of Christ, or you're suffering as a result of sin. Both of them have a place. God knew what he was doing. The one is to make us think of heaven, and to think that my Savior suffered for me. So that kind of suffering makes a lot of sense. The other one is to cause us to repent, to turn away, and both of them have a purpose. And so when we see that, it's important. Now I want to say something else. It's judgment time for God's own family. If you look down at verse 17, it says, "For it is time for judgment to begin." In 1 Peter 4, it's time for judgment to begin with the household of God. That would be the flock here. The flock. It's time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? You know, and as you read through this suffering and you start to realize something about it, and it talks about those who are suffering because of their sins and things like that, it puts a heavy burden on us to realize that we're the ones that are supposed to be reaching out to the lost. This has been talked about, thought about, what we're doing next year in many, many different ways. You know, and I like the process or the circle or the cycle or whatever you want, the journey, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to tell you, as you go around that circle and you get to that side where it talks about reaching the lost, it's judgment time for this congregation. Where are we going to be? Are we just going to be good at those first three? It gets tougher as you go around. The first one, yeah, we're pretty good at that. And the second one, you know. And it's just something that I've observed, that as you go around that circle, it really challenges you. So if you're feeling challenged with all the changes that are going on, you're not alone. The elders are feeling that too. It is going to be a challenging year. There's something else I want to say. I often hear it said here before we take the contribution that the elders here at PSD work hard to make sure that the money is spent in accordance with God's word. I hear that said a lot, and there's truth in that. But the prime function of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, was not to watch over the money, but to watch over the flock. The elders here want you to know that we as shepherds who have been entrusted with Jesus' flock, with the Good Shepherd's flock, we want you to know that your souls are more precious to us than how the money gets spent. And it's real easy to get excited about some of the things that Herb's talking about, you know, building and this and that and how the money is spent, but that is an offshoot, you know, trying to make decisions. The object here is the hearts of the flock. and to recognize that these are precious sheep. They're precious to God. They're precious to the Good Shepherd. And that lays heavy on us. We do talk about how the money gets spent in those meetings, but more importantly than that, that's not what stirs us up. I've seen the eldership cry, and I don't think we've ever cried over money, Herb. We've never sat there and boo-hooed over money, but we have cried. That's not what wakes us up in the middle of the night and brings us to our knees before God either. And that happens here. But it's not over money. So as we continue to move forward, we need to remember that for a long time, and this has been going on for a time longer than we can imagine, because you see, God had a plan for the church before he ever even created this planet. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before, that's a long time ago, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption of his sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." And it says, "which he lavished on us." God wanted us to enter into his family with a celebration that involved a very extravagant gift. Not something small or something just to kind of shake our head at. It's huge what Jesus did for us. And we need to strive to be a decent representation of the body of Christ. Status quo doesn't sound like God's family. Good enough. There's something more going on here. It is the desire of the elders that we maintain and move in a direction where we would be described as a flock whose good shepherd is Jesus. What does that look like? This is what we're facing, and these are the kind of things we're asking ourselves. And we recognize that in that we need to do things like protect the flock against the dangers. You know, Paul is giving a lot of advice to the elders in Ephesus. Some of it's scary. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. We're supposed to be on guard. He's really telling us to be on our toes, to wake up, to be aware of what's really going on. And he says, "and among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." There's that reminder of what this is really about and how much this cost and what the gift really was. See, he wanted them to know that the Holy Spirit has put them in charge of these people. But these people aren't just any people. These are God's people. And that we're to guard and protect them, recognizing that God himself thought that they were worth dying for. And then the scary part is the vicious wolves. Vicious wolves are going to show up and rip into this flock, was what he told the elders. And if you don't think that bothers me, way before I was an elder, it's something I ask myself. The question I always ask myself is, am I the wolf? There's a warning there. And whenever you start making decisions and thinking about things, you have to, as a child of God, you have to ask yourself, am I the wolf? He goes on in the 20th chapter of Acts there in verse 20. He says, he reminds them how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. He wanted the congregation there in Ephesus to know everything that was profitable. And he's reminding these elders of that. He said, "I didn't skimp or trim in any way. I put it all out there. Every truth and encouragement that could have made a difference to you, that's what I did." Now, that's what we're trying to do here. It's going to be bumpy. I don't think we've gotten there. But that's the objective and the goal. And then he says, "and teaching you publicly and from house to house." You see, the elders here want to make sure that you are taught the truth in every way possible. Every possible way. Leave nothing, you know, that's out there. Take opportunity. Seize it. Even in one another's homes. The goal here is to reach the lost. You know, God asked us to do that very simply. Go. We had a sermon a few years ago. And I just never forget, he said, it didn't say, y'all come. It said, go. And I always, that sermon always kind of hit me. But in every way, we should be saying, y'all come too. I believe in every way you take every opportunity. In verse 21, he says, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance. And this is one of my favorite verses about repentance. Repentance toward God. Because normally when we think about repentance, you know what we think about? We think about repentance, turn away from sin. This says repentance, turn toward God. That means everyone. I don't care where you are on the sin scale. This means we all turn toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What he is saying here is radical. He says testifying to both Jews and Greeks. I'm telling you, this is testifying to the American dream. There's something greater than the American dream. And we're good at pursuing the American dream because we live in America. And it's a great place to live. But the challenge here is to turn toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul urged these Jews and Greeks, he's talking about a radical life change that involves what's most important to you. What really means something to you. And he's also talking about an equally radical trust in Jesus, our Master. And that's the challenge. And there's going to be some suffering in that. It's going to be hard. It's a challenge. We're going to suffer when that alarm clock goes off early on Sunday morning next Sunday. You know, but it's not about us. It's about God. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of that. We're going to be okay. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to hit some bumps, and we're going to hash some out. I know. We're already expecting that. You can only plan so much. When I used to take my children on vacation, we would map out every restaurant we were going to eat at. We didn't eat at any chain restaurants, every place we're going to stop, how long we're going to spend at every little place, and then we would say, you realize this is just a guideline. Because when you get out there, it just never works that way. And so you've got a plan, but you have to be willing to make a few changes as you hit the bumps in the road when you pull up and you find out that diner's no longer there and you're still hungry. And, you know, that's what we're expecting. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to be one. This is a very exciting time in our lives because we're serious about this. We're serious about God, about making some radical changes in the way we turn our hearts toward Him, about radical faith. At least it appears radical, I think, to a lot of the world. It shouldn't appear that radical to us, really. It's something that we know that we ought to be doing. And so we're going to encourage you in just a second and sing a song. And it's quite simple. If you believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God, and that He died in a way that would take our sins away, and that He was then risen from the dead, and He's made an opportunity to take us out of this place that has a lot of suffering in it, to a place where there is no suffering, and He's asked us to be baptized, to enter into the blood of Jesus that way so we can have that. If you're willing to confess that you believe that He is the Son of God and that you believe in those kind of things, don't wait. Don't wait. As far as the repentance, it's kind of hard when you turn to God to not turn away from sin. And I think if we keep that in our mind, that we're turning toward God, it'll help us in our lives and the struggles of sin. So repentance is key to this, but it's key to all of us. And those of us who have been baptized, it's the same thing. It's an opportunity for us to repent. I'm actually asking all of us to consider repenting this morning in the way described. Let's all just, you know, turn our hearts toward God. You know, I'm sure that we can all think of ways that we can turn our heart towards God this morning. It's not that hard. Let's go ahead, and Jared's going to lead us in an invitation song, so let's stand, and we'll sing that song. And if you'd like to come forward, do that at this time.